1227, I have brought forward to this committee as a result of many unsolicited commercial emails I've received over the last number of years. There's a fine art to staying off these junk mail lists, and if any of you use email on a day-to-day basis, I'm sure you've received many of these emails. I was going to make a copy and distribute it to the committee this morning, but I realize that many of you, if not all of you, have seen these. What I'm talking about, it's offers for credit. There's many different types of pornographic websites that are sent out. Also, gambling more recently, and travel, just to name a few. And I was going to bring this bill last year, but quite frankly, I had some concerns about the constitutionality and how this would be structured. And so I waited until this year and brought it after a California Court of Appeals on January 8th of this year, actually, held the California statute to be constitutional under the Federal Commerce Clause and the Dormant Commerce Clause. And so as such, 1227 is modeled basically identically after the California statute that about a month ago was found to be constitutional. If I could for just a moment, I'm sure you've all received junk mail also. I want you just to compare the difference in junk mail as opposed to bulk email or bulk faxes. Junk mail, the cost is imposed on the sender for the printing. Many of you, I'm sure, have sent out postcards for your campaigns, and you're well aware that you pay for the postcard and for the postage, and all the recipient has to do is look at it and throw away. There's no cost to the recipient. Email and faxes are quite different, though. With an email, unsolicited commercial email, there are costs that are passed on to the consumer. The act of sending the email is actually quite simple, and in fact, if you're going to send out one email, you might as well just send it to 500,000 or a million or a couple million people. The cost is the same to the sender. But imposed on the recipient is the CPU time that it takes to actually download and process that email message, the use of the bandwidth on their internet connection. A lot of South Dakota residents still have dial-up connections at 28K, and some of these emails, if you're getting 10, 20 junk mails a day, really interfere with their practical use of the computer. Hard drive space, time to manage and delete and sort out what's junk and what's not, and quite frankly, also the transmission of objectionable material. Items that most people here would never allow into their homes come are basically sent in every day for kids and family members to read. It's also true with the fax, and if you think about it, if you're going to do a bulk of fax, send that out, you're imposing that cost on the person receiving the fax. You've got the use of that telephone line. Many businesses in South Dakota have just one fax line. You're tying up that fax line while that fax is being received, and also, of course, the toner and the paper cost. AOL recently estimated that approximately 30% of the 30 million messages it handled each day were junk mail, or bulk email, or spam, as it's been commonly referred to. And according to a study that's been done, the cost of spam, or this bulk email, is around $8 billion a year that's borne by businesses here in the United States. And that's just the cost to United States businesses. So the problem presently is you receive a bulk email or a junk mail, and on the bottom a lot of times it'll say click here to remove, and you send an email to somebody and say remove me off this mailing list. Well, what happens is the majority of the time, this is a common industry practice, the person receiving that request to have their name removed off of, or to the company receiving that request to remove your name off their list does not honor that, but instead they add you to a special list, which is a priority list, because they know that, in fact, you read your email and you care enough to respond to this. And those email lists are sold and distributed to other people. I just got one last night that said, click here to be removed, and just it takes you out to a bogus website that really goes to nowhere. So what we've seen is an inability of consumers, even if they didn't want to receive this stuff, to stop receiving unsolicited commercial email or these faxes. I believe that House Bill 1227 strikes a fair balance between business development and consumer protection. It's important to note, I'll walk you through the sections of the bill here in just a second, that unsolicited emails and faxes are not prohibited. Rather, this bill just requires a process. In fact, you'll notice under Section 1, Subpart 1, establishing a toll-free number that someone may call to have their name taken off that list. So, really what this bill does then is just provides that process for the removing your name off this list to stop receiving these items. Section 2 of the bill talks about the placement of the notice and where it's got to be contained at in the email or the fax. Section 3 basically says after you've received the notice, that person can no longer send those emails or faxes to you. Section 4 defines that email and here's where we get around with some of the constitutional issues, is that it has to be applied to a South Dakota resident, and we also then take and define document in Section 4. Section 5 excludes internet service providers who merely just transmit the emails. So what we're really getting at here is those who would be sending these emails or faxes. Section 6 is an interesting component that I really liked in California law. It requires use of the word ADV and then the colon on advertisements on the subject line. And the reason for that is when you receive these emails, then you can set up your computer to automatically take, and if there's an ADV colon on the subject line, it can automatically be sent to your trash can, so you don't even have to handle it. And then, of course, it specifies adult also, and then those adult ones are just for marking out to keep this offensive information away from your kids. Section 8 and 9 provide the remedies. Section 8 makes it a deceptive trade practice to violate the Act, and Section 9 provides for a civil remedy. And so I guess just in sum, I have, Mr. Chairman, two amendments here that I'd like to pass around.
Please do. These are two different amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The first amendment that's going around is similar to one that you have on your desk, but it in fact is a little bit different. So this will replace the other amendment that was handed out, I believe, earlier today. The first amendment that I'm going to ask that you put onto the bill is basically it's a prohibition from the person who owns this list from selling names or email addresses or fax numbers in the event somebody has requested to be taken off that list. What I'm trying to avoid here is if you say to a someone who engages in this type of business, take my name off your list, and in fact they comply with it under this law, that they don't turn around and take and just sell it to somebody else and make a profit off of that. The other one is the other three-line amendment, the very simple one. The South Dakota retailers had expressed some concern on page 2 that we were limiting this just to in-state companies. I want to make sure that we're absolutely clear. It's not my intent. This applies to anyone, in-state or out, who is sending an email to a South Dakota resident. And so that bill would just, I believe, clarify some of the language that's in the existing bill that has been cause for confusion. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to, I want to thank Commissioner Saar for all of his work on this issue, too, and he's worked with me in putting this bill together. And I'd like to defer to him so he can make some comments. Thank you.
Further proponents of House Bill 1227.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Saar, and I'm a commissioner for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. And I think Representative McCauley did a great job explaining the bill, and I realize we're under some time constraints.
We are going to run late, so please continue.
Okay, thank you. So I'll move quickly through my comments. House Bill 1227 will give consumers an important protection against unsolicited emails. And in the last 2 years, one study estimates that emails have gone up, unsolicited commercial emails have increased 16 times, and that about 30% involve pornography. And if anyone were interested, one of the constitutional officer's friends sent a list of what she was sent over just a course of 2 or 3 days, and most, a lot of the words that are in the titles of these emails, I would not even feel comfortable saying in front of this committee. I do note, though, that some of these emails are being marked now as advertising in adult. And so I think that shows that this isn't something that's unduly burdensome for people and that can be done. I liken this to a certain extent to our telemarketing laws, where if a consumer does not want to be called again by a telemarketer, they can just tell the telemarketer, please put me on the do not call list. And that's what we're doing here. We're not saying it's illegal for someone to send an unsolicited email. What it's saying is if the person doesn't want to receive any more, they have the means to protect themselves, just like they would with a telemarketer. South Dakota would not be alone in this regard. 18 other states have done something to protect their consumers against these type of emails, and I think it's something that's much needed for our consumers. With those points made, I guess I just close by saying I've gotten a number of emails, I've gotten a number of messages, personal contacts from consumers, from businesses, thanking us for bringing this legislation. And I think if you look in Section 7 of the bill, I believe it is, businesses can also request on behalf of all their email accounts to have those to no longer receive emails from certain persons or companies sending those emails. So I think it has a lot of advantages for business as well, and there also are some considerations about not only pornography but also viruses and those type of things, because unfortunately, as Representative McCauley touched upon, these people who are sending these emails are getting more and more sophisticated at making them look like maybe they're from an old, long-lost friend, or they personalize subject lines, and suddenly you open it up and you're into something that you never really intended to be. So at the very least, we give a consumer a heads-up on that, and we think that now something like 70% of children have email accounts. I think there is some merit to also looking at marking emails as adults and giving parents some type of tools. And a lot of times, I think the kids don't want to see this either, giving the kids a chance to be able to avoid unwanted exposure to these emails. So with those comments, I would just urge the committee to support House Bill 1227 and answer any questions that they might have.
Thank you, Commissioner. We will hold questions.
Mr. Chairman, could I have just information to you?
Yes.
Is Mr. Starr testifying on behalf of himself or on behalf of the PUC? Just, I didn't hear it when I first started.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Would you please... clarify that?
I'm testifying as a public utilities commissioner. I'm not testifying on behalf of the commission as a whole.
So you're testifying on behalf of yourself?
As a public official.
As a public official. Thank you, Mr. Sir. Thank Commissioner Sir. Further proponents of House Bill 1227. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1227? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1227?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Jim Hood, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. While our association certainly does not condone pornography, we do feel that email and faxes have a very legitimate business use. With that said, I'd like to tell you why we have some concerns about this bill. We think it discriminates against in-state businesses and gives out-of-state businesses an unfair competitive advantage. Let me give you a couple of examples. I practice law. I get emails probably once a week from the Quill Corporation out of New York State. They sell business supplies. I think this bill would prohibit me from receiving a email or a fax from Brown and Sanger in Sioux Falls, who sells office supplies, or any other office supplies, advising me of a sale on copy paper or legal pads, unless I go to that business has to go to the expense of installing a toll-free number that I could call. And I think that just puts an unfair burden on the back of the small retailer in South Dakota that would require them to go out and purchase a toll-free phone line. I think the phone companies ought to love this bill because it's going to require not only the in-state but also the out-of-state companies to buy a toll-free number. Another example, I get a fax from a cruise line in Miami, Florida, advising me of a sale. On a cruise. However, I don't think under this bill I could get a fax from my local travel agent unless they had a toll-free number. I don't think you want to remove the language that gives on the small amendment. For this reason, these bills or similar bills have passed constitutional muster in other states because of Section 4. And because the bills in the other states required that the company have equipment located in the state or an electronic mail service provider service. And I'm not a chip head, and I don't understand a lot of this technical stuff, but I think that has to stay in if this bill is going to pass constitutional muster as regards to the Interstate Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And I think those other cases in California and Washington, those bills passed constitutional muster because those out-of-state companies had equipment located in those states or an electronic mail service provider located in that state. It's I think this bill establishes barriers and requirements of South Dakota businesses that are not required of out-of-state businesses. And I really don't think it's our local businesses that are causing the problems with the email and the faxes. It's the out-of-state businesses. And I guess with those comments, personally, I'd much rather get a fax or an email than a phone call from a solicitor or someone trying to sell me something during the day. I can delete the email or look at my email on my time and at my convenience, or throw away the fax after glancing at it if I'm not interested. And I don't think our South Dakota businesses are really the ones that are causing the problems. Our South Dakota businesses, if they wanted to do this, would have to go out and buy a 1-800 number. And I don't know how you're going to enforce this, quite frankly. You know, if a South Dakota merchant takes a check from somebody in Florida and that check bounces or it's a no-account check, that retailer is just out of luck. And if I get a fax or an email from somebody in Florida or California, how am I going to get jurisdiction over them? Some of these things are a Class 2 misdemeanor. I go to my state's attorney, but he's not going to take my complaint on somebody from out of state for a Class 2 misdemeanor. And I think the bill needs some work, and I guess for those reasons, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we have some very serious concerns and are opposed to House Bill 1227 in its current form.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. We will hold questions. Are there any further opponents to House Bill 1227? Are there any further opponents? One more time. Are there any further opponents? Seeing none, Representative McCauley, I would allow you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. You know, the retailers had told us about their concerns in the bill, and quite frankly, I read it front to back, and I don't see any place in this bill where it doesn't apply to both in-state businesses and out-of-state businesses. Look at Section 4. In the case of an email, this act applies when unsolicited email documents are delivered to a South Dakota resident. And quite frankly, this amendment, this three-line amendment, if the retailers don't want this, I'm going to ask you not to move it. Quite frankly, we just brought that to try and keep the peace there. So this doesn't discriminate against in-state and out-of-state businesses. There's no language in here that would indicate otherwise. Also, I want to point out, too, that if you look at the first page, Section 1, Subpart 2, in the case of emails, we permit the sender to establish a toll-free number or a valid return email address. And that the problem we're seeing right now is try and reply sometimes some of these junk emails that you're getting. They have false sent from information, and you just can't figure out ever who sent it. They just want you to look at the ad. So as far as a substantial burden, I think I don't think it's there. I think we try to be as flexible as possible, and requiring, in the case of a fax, a toll-free number, in the case of an email, a toll-free number, or an email address. And finally, I just want to read I'm going to come back to that, whether or not it applies to in-state businesses differently than out-of-state. This is straight from the California case. In the present case, the respondents concede that the statute does not discriminate against out-of-state actors. This applies equally to in-state and out-of-state actors who do business in this case, California, transmit the commercial email documents and the equipment located there in California. So I would suggest that many of the concerns raised by the retailers, if you read the bill very carefully, those concerns are not valid. Mr. Chairman, I thank you for the chance to respond.
Thank you, Representative. Questions of proponents or opponents from the committee? Are there any questions? Any questions from the committee? I just have one question of clarification, Representative McCauley. This amendment here is the amendment you no longer wish to be moved. Do I understand that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, you do understand me correctly. And quite frankly, I was concerned, too. I think those the lines that would be taken out would call into question the constitutionality of the statute. So I would prefer, since the retailers don't support it, I'd prefer leaving that language in there.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, I will close the committee hearing to Discussion and or action. You have before you Amendment 1227-FA. Out of courtesy to the sponsor, I'd ask that it be moved. Representative Michaels moves. Representative Olson seconds. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1227 is amended. Further discussion and or action on House Bill 1227 is amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the House Bill 1227 be deferred to 36-day. Then I'll make a comment.
Is there a second? Representative Brown moves that House Bill 1227 as amended be deferred to the 36th legislative day. Is there a second? Representative Hansen seconds the motion. Discussion. Representative
Mr. Chairman,
Brown.
The bill here, even with the change of the sponsors, does not meet the basic requirements, I think, of the South Dakota retailers and businessmen in South Dakota. The second thing is we continue to forget to remember that emails don't have any better idea about political boundaries than floodwaters do. And the third element to this whole thing is, what about enforcement costs? The constitutional issue aside, sometimes we're replete with having a good idea that put on more restrictions and forgetting about what the enforcement costs are when we start to actually bring this to court. Not only is the deputy state's attorney's or state's attorney's office is going to be somewhat reluctant to get involved in interstate commerce jurisdiction and that sort of thing, I don't think we've really given this as much thought as we need to, so I would urge you to support the motion.
Representative Napoli.
Mr. Chairman, I would move a substitute motion to defer to the 36th day.
That was Representative.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. I would move a substitute motion to do pass. I was reading the wrong line, I'm sorry.
Is there a second? I'm sorry. Representative Napoli moves. Representative Dunwald seconds a motion to do pass on House Bill 1227 as amended. Discussion. Representative Napoli.
Just a quick comment. As a South Dakota retailer, a member of the South Dakota retailers, and as a South Dakota businessman, I'm getting sick of it. And this bill is coming huge, strong across the United States, and we're going to address this. Representative McCauley might be a few years ahead of his time, but we're going to address this sooner or later. And I think this is a good bill. I spent quite a bit of time on it this morning, and I don't believe there is a constitutional question here, and I think that's a question that's going to have to be decided at a later date if somebody doesn't like it. But I think this is a good bill. It really addresses the issue of unsolicited emails, and I want to congratulate you for bringing it forward, and I hope we do send it to the floor for further debate.
Further discussion, Representative Dunwald.
I have to agree. I think for every email and fax that you get this year, next year you're going to get 10. It's the way it's going in my place that I see it just expanding, exponentially. So we're going to answer it. Maybe this is not a perfect bill, but we can maybe it better next year. I think it's time to put it in.
Further discussion. I would just simply make a quick comment. I actually have to agree with Representative Brown on this issue. I do respect Representative McCauley for bringing it forward and Commissioner Saar's support for that. I do think it might be a little bit premature. I'm as irritated as anybody by unwanted emails. In fact, knowing this bill was going to be heard today, I counted my business computer this weekend when I was at work, the number of unsolicited advertising emails I had, and I had 131 messages, and 15 of those were some kind of advertisement. And it does take time to clear those off, even if you don't read them. But I think that the concerns of the retailers are legitimate. I think the concerns of the enforceability of it are legitimate, and I think it might be just a little premature to move forward with this bill. But with that, is there further discussion on the motion? Committee, the motion before you is the do pass motion on House Bill 1227 as amended. Those in favor shall say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary shall call the roll.
Brown?
No.
Dunwald?
Aye.
Vicarious? Penske?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Jasper?
Aye.
Junkie?
No.
Michaels?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Napoli?
Aye.
Peterson?
No. Okay, we're back to the original motion. The do pass motion failed to achieve a majority vote. We're back to the original motion to defer to the 36th legislative day. Those in favor of that motion shall say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary shall call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Dunwald?
No.
Wensky?
No.
Hansen?
Aye.
Jaspers?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Michaels?
No. No.
Olson?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Napoli?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
We have the same thing. 6-5.
6-5. It fails to achieve a majority vote. Committee, I'm going to hold this bill until we have another two votes. Representative McCauley, I believe we will hold this bill until Wednesday.